I'm going to take you to two scriptures today. And the first one is in Ecclesiastes. So if you're having a hard time to find it, look for Proverbs. It's next door. Ecclesiastes. And there's two verses that I want you to concentrate on. And the first one is in verse 9 of chapter 1. Verse 9 of chapter 1. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, look, this is something new? It was here already long ago. It was here before your time. I want you to now skip over to chapter 3. It's almost the same word. Verse 15. Whatever is has already been, and what will be has been before. And God will call the past to account. You say, well, what in the world are you talking about? I'm talking about the body of Christ, the army of the Lord. It was in the realm of the Spirit when Jesus created the spirit realm. And you were all in one unit and one accord then. You knew each other then. And if you study this word, you'll see that there's a plan. I shared with you a little bit about Schindler's List. And one of the ways he purchased the factory that brought salvation to the Jew was with all the money that they had saved up was now useless because they couldn't even go to work. They couldn't do anything. They were slaves. All the gold, all the silver, some of the kids, in fact, they were told to swallow the diamonds when they were told that they were going to be put in a different place. They carried their suitcases only to be thrown into a pile and then evaluated and sold on the black market. But this man was gathering up money that they could have no place for, because they all had hopes that they were going to get out. But the man of God, or the man God chose, knew that their destiny was concentration camps and death. Their money and their jewels would do them no good. Listen to what verse 26 says in chapter 2. Verse 26 of chapter 2. To the man who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering up and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. You say, well, you're talking about a movie, you're talking about what things were, and they're going to be again. What in the world are you speaking of? I'm speaking about God's plan. I'm speaking about those who think there's no future. I'm speaking about those who have no hope for tomorrow. Now I'm going to take you to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. That's quite a ways back. You'll find it just before Jude and 1 Peter. James chapter 4, boasting about tomorrow, verse 13. Boasting about tomorrow. What do you guys know about tomorrow? It's going to be what already has been decreed. Verse 13, I'm sorry. Now listen, You who say today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and you brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. Now, I've given you quite a bit of ammunition. And it's to awaken in you a reality that you are eternal beings. And eternity is already flowing through each one of you. Eternity will not stop. It's going to go on. You say, well, you're talking about our beginning. Yes, your beginning was in the spirit realm. You were sent into this realm. Jeremiah chapter 1 says, before you were born, I knew you and called you to a prophet to the nations. Now, that's not just for Jeremiah. Close your eyes for a moment. Say, he's talking about me. And I'm willing to hear that God has a plan for me. And it's not all about the flesh. Or any other relationships. But the most important is my relationship to Jesus. He's my Savior. He's my healer. He's my deliverer. He's all in all. And he's my future. And I'm a part of this incredible army. And God knew it all along. He knew it all along. He had it all prepared. He's sneaking up on me and letting me know. Now's the time to manifest the living word. And it will make a change. Not just in me, but those around me. I am an irritation. I'm full of light. Darkness can't stand me. I'm going to repeat what I gave you in James 4. Listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. This past couple of weeks have been, my wife called it a merry-go-round. She said, I want to get off. I literally want to get off. Yet when we went into that hospital room to visit our new baby on July 4th, after we went to the funeral, she held on to that baby and began to weep. You see, she put in the ground a 53-year-old friend. But then she held new life. One brought by God's plan, coordinated by the Holy Ghost. How many know Holy Ghost is sneaky? He sneaks up on you when you least expect it. And my tears are just tears of joy and sadness at the same time. Because God's plans are so different than man. Watching the movie again, I'm trying to tell you, awakens in me this reality that there was a plan that was going on from the beginning of my creation. And it's not just for me, it's for you. If I don't push your buttons, you'll stay focused on flesh. How many know you can be focused on flesh and die? Mm-hmm. And then where are you? I remember several weeks back, I'm in my backyard and I see my neighbor, and she's sitting outside, and she was kind of a moderate-sized woman. And she was always on the warm side and very outdoorsy, loved the outdoors. She's sitting on her patio. She's got a blanket over her back, which is totally out of order for her because she was always warm. I think she was really late to pee. But here she is, that great big blanket on her. And I kept getting a nudge, go sit next to her. So obviously, I knew a neighbor. She says, oh, I'm freezing. And she's sitting in perfect sunshine. She says, I can't warm up. I don't know what's wrong with me. I've never been like this. And so we sat, and she began to unload all the things. Now, don't forget, I've known her for 53 years. We've talked about every subject under the sun. I helped to put her first husband in the ground after he had a heart attack at 30-something years old. I remember when she was about to lose the little girl they had adopted because the final papers had never been signed, because they only had had her for several months. That same little girl was the one that took care of her. Her second husband became a gift. Wonderful man. And they had a daughter together. But you see, all of this is fractions of seconds in the realm of the spirit. And I couldn't go there. I mean, you know, some people, you cannot talk about certain things.
Amen.
You have to just shut up. And for me, that's hard. You can laugh. It's truth. I have to literally zip it up and remind myself that I'm talking to a very limited believer. I think it's the best way. It's a limited believer. Anybody know any limited believers? Limited. My conversation has to be kept in a space where she will comprehend where I'm coming from. And clarity will unfold as the Lord leads. So she's telling me about her discouragement. She's telling me about how everything is just so intense. And her body is just not behaving. And she says to me, you know, she was a very outgoing person. Very, very popular with the senior group. She was part of the choir where she belonged in St. Divine Mercy now. And she was part of that church for over 50 years. So she knew all these people, and she was a lover of people. Very compassionate. She'd help you if you were in trouble, no matter what. She didn't look at your condition. She was willing. So she was a very sweet lady, but she was having such a hard time, and her body was just not being understood. And now they had discovered that there was cancer in there, and it needed to come out. Well, how many know you think about all kinds of things when you're in that place where your body is not behaving? So we ended up talking about all kinds of things, but more than anything else, I said, well, you know, Doris, we're going to pray, and we're going to ask God for his plan to unfold. Well, the story ends with, yes, there was half the lung that needed to be completely removed, the whole one side. And her breathing then became so limited because she had to have forced oxygen coming in. And it's like having a gold ring in your nose and a rope limiting your ability to go and do. She was the type of person that if you put her on a leash, I think she'd rather pass away and go home. After the surgery, there was depression that came. The healing was going forward, but her heart was still broken. And she told my wife, she said, I want to die. I just don't want to stay with this. I don't want to live with this. But she was getting better. I happened to go and see her. I waited a few days, and the Lord said, wait. I kept interceding, and I did. I went to see her. I was sneaky. I put holy oil behind my ear. And when it was time to leave, I put oil on my finger, and I just took her by the arm and began to pray for her. She was not a demonstrative person, but my job was to be sneaky. Why? Because it might not have been acceptable if it would have been any kind of demonstrative way of anointing. You say, I can do this? Yes, you can. You can put oil behind your ear. How many know that you can put oil behind your ear? Mm-hmm. It'll stay there. Nobody will know. Girls have it even a little easier than some of us guys. You've got hair that's available. You can anoint anybody that the Lord tells you to anoint. And you don't have to, you know, make a big display. God's Holy Spirit doesn't need to be broadcast. Hear me? Mm-hmm. There are some that you will anoint that they'll never know. But that's not your business or theirs. It's God's business. If you hear the word, manifest whatever he tells you to do. Okay? Just do it. Nike. Do it. Don't wait. Don't argue. Do it. And believe for the miracle that's needed. How many got a few relatives that could use to be anointed? Thank you. See, what I'm saying to you is be sneaky like the Holy Ghost did. Get prepared before you get out of your car. Take the oil, put it on. Wear it well. And spread it around. Okay, all right. I'm getting a flashback. And it's a vision that I think is kind of sneaky, but it's the truth. This is quite a few years ago. And over 20, actually. I'm at my brother's place. He still had the business at the time. And I'm driving back home. And I parked in the front of this big slaughterhouse and the stores at the other end. And as I walk out, I get in my car and I'm kind of in a hurry because I want to get home. And I can't leave. How many know that you get arrested? Well, I got arrested. Can't leave. The Lord said, I want you to take oil, and I want you to go anoint the Pontiac Firebird that's parked right in front of the building. I don't even know who it belongs to, but how do I care? What's the big issue? So I get out of the car, I got my bottle of oil, and I'm praying in the Spirit. I anoint the driver's side handle, the knob, the push button knob. Then the Lord says, anoint the steering wheel and the shifter. Yeah, that's okay. It's all right, it's legal. So I did all that and got back in my car, and I'm happy as a you-know-who. And totally full of joy, and I'm going home. 6 months later, my brother's coming to visit. He is bringing his daughter, and actually the third daughter. She's been here before. And her boyfriend at the time, they were married by then. But when I anointed the car, they weren't married. So it's more than 6 months. It's probably a year and a half, 2 years, whatever. We're spend a weekend at my house. Then they're about to leave, and it's on a Saturday morning, and I'm going to give my testimony
for the full gospel businessmen in North Adams.
So they decide they want to come. So we all go for the breakfast. I give my testimony. And, of course, this kid doesn't understand one word of English. So it's boring time, but he listens to the whole thing. You know Jacob's Ladder, the big long hill that comes into Greenfield? I think it's Greenfield. Mm-hmm. When we were on top of the mountain, we stopped. And we had that lookout place. And this young man asked if he could ride with me because he wanted to talk with me. He wanted to know a little bit about what I said, all in English, obviously. So on the way down, he was born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, got his new tongues, God healed his eyes, he got rid of his glasses, and his life has been totally changed since. He was the owner of the Firebird. I didn't tell him then. I didn't tell him then. It was not time. Close your eyes. Say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
I need commissions.
I need commissions.
I need words of wisdom.
I need words of wisdom.
Words of knowledge.
Words of knowledge.
Words of instructions.
Words of instructions.
And when I obey.
And when I obey.
It'll be like a flag. And the word will come.
And the word will come.
And it will manifest.
And it will manifest.
Because I'm part of that army.
I'm about to draw in.
Those that have been prepared.
Those that have been prepared.
To come into the kingdom.
To come into the kingdom.
I'm one of your salvation army.
I'm one of your salvation army.
And I'm excited.
And I'm excited.
I can be sneaky.
I can be sneaky.
I can use all these weapons.
Anytime.
Because it's okay to be sneaky.
Because
the fruit are awesome.
And
I might save some.
That
would never come to salvation.
If
it wasn't for a sneaky.
Active member.
Of the Salvation Army.
Of the Salvation Army.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. You got